Come on, give God the praise. Come on, give God the praise. Hallelujah.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sound like the resurrection. That sound like Jesus, don't it? That sound like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is. His presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too. Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God ain't going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means that you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to to receive your inheritance from God. You qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have to snatch his blood away and undo what he did. But he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did, and the devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on it, the longer his list was getting. You know, you keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started out, he had 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that there are roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out 2 more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, said, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you, the floodgates open. Really, everything's really rolled up into one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that other people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go ahead, each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay. Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind, and you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing. And talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you had to watch what you say. All right, now listen to this right here. Now, all of this is real good, but I want to focus on verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? It was a few of y'all wasn't here. Right, I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now. Everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, Just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, with the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or to see clear, what do I need to do? I need to come to somebody. I got to come to somebody that's got the light, right? Because why? I'll be able to what? I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there in your own, at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light, but you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class, you're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off, because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to let, you say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light. Right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this row start talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did. Then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least being the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit. He has qualified us. Or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're gonna step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we really need to be thinking about what can I do to glorify my Father? Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him. Because what I receive from him is going to change my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He have made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who live in the light. In other words, you've been qualified to receive everything that Jesus died to do.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Ever watching over us, majestic and so mighty.
best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety in music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Jesus, in his ministry on planet Earth, had a plethora of ways that he ministered to the people of God. One of the ways he ministered was through parables. And a parable, of course, is an earthly story with heavenly or spiritual meaning connected. And many a times, rather than quoting scripture from the Old Testament, because Jesus was living the New Testament, it was not written at that time, so his references came from the Old Testament. And many times he would share with what the word said in the Old Testament and taught from that and brought new revelation and understanding to that, or introduce them to new teachings and new principles and new laws. And because he was the word personified, he made it his business to meet men where they were and then lift them to the place that they should be. However, this only really had the effect on those who received him, who believed him, who accepted him, and he then was able to minister to them. It was clear that the record teaches us that he came to his own, and his own received him not. So there were times when he could not minister to his own people because they did not want to hear him. But thanks be to God, he didn't shut up. Thanks be to God, he did not keep his peace or hold back the word that was life-changing and life fulfilling, in that men were able to hear the truth, receive the truth, and be blessed by the truth. And so one scripture today, for just a moment, I'm not going to be long before you today, because when I share a few points about this scripture, I'm going to share an illustration and open the doors of the church and then let you go home. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Now, one of the things that I want you to look at in this text is that he is able. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your lot or your plot is in life. If you will come to Jesus, if you will surrender to Jesus, if you will open your heart up to Jesus, the record is he can save to the uttermost. And the uttermost here means from those who are of the upper echelons of life to those who are down at the guttermost. Everywhere in between, Jesus can save. Is there a witness in the house? You see, a lot of folk won't tell what particular sin Jesus saved them from. But here's what I do know without knowing your name or what the sin was. It was sin. And so it really doesn't matter what the sin was. The fact that it was sin meant you needed and need a Savior. And what you got to understand is the Lord wants us to come into that place where we are ready to release our sins, relinquish our sins, let our sins go, and hold on to the salvation that comes only through His saving grace. Now, this is what the Bible says. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, how does this work? Well, if you understand this, you've got to understand that Jesus is the go-between God and man. That there is no one else who can go in the place of Jesus Christ and bring men who were lost to a saved state back to a holy Father but Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. And listen at this, because those of us who are saved and we sit on our laurels and we sit back acting as if we didn't need to be saved and act like now that we are saved is no big thing being saved, we must recognize we've been saved to help save others. We don't sit back and act like we got it all together now. We know a whole lot of folks. Some of them live with us. Some of them work with us. Some of them live in our neighborhoods. Some we meet in the streets. Some we meet in various places who need Jesus, and He is able to save from the top to the bottom and all in between. But we've got to see Him and what He gives to us as an ability to receive that salvation. All I'm trying to help you understand is that even after you are saved, you still need to call Him up. Even after you're saved, sometime you still have to go to Him and repent and ask His forgiveness and ask Him to wash you afresh, to cleanse you. You still got to go to Him and tell Him you've missed it. You're not right. You're not as holy as you ought to be. You don't talk the way you ought to talk. You're not living the way you ought to live. If you get quiet now, I know you're lying and you're acting like you are all of that, but He knows the truth. There ain't no sense in coming in here acting holier than thou and not acting like you know what I'm talking about or who I'm talking about when you know it was Jesus who did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. It was Jesus that opened up doors for you and gave you access to the courts of God. It was Jesus that pardoned your sin and that lifted your spirits and that removed from you the guilt and the shame that your sins put upon. It was nobody but Jesus. And the Bible says, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them, those who come to Him. He'll make intercession for them. Listen, He ever, that's His job. The Bible, and I like that B part where it starts off saying, seeing. Can you use your sanctified imagination and look up into the heavens and see Jesus sitting down on the right hand of the Father? He ever liveth to make intercession for you, for me, for those who accept Him. So sometimes He needs to step back in and do some stuff for us that we still can't do for ourselves. Sometimes He needs to step back in and walk with us and talk with us and share with us some of the secrets of the heavens and things to encourage our hearts. Sometimes he needs to heal our bodies and straighten out our minds and fix our hearts. Sometimes he needs to let us know what it is he wants us to do without fail, and then know that we need his power to do what he has given us the charge and the assignment to do. And without him, we can do nothing. Sometimes we need to just call on him and tell him what we want. Any witnesses in the house? I love the old church, and the old church used to say, call him up and tell him. Jesus is on, yeah, the main line. Tell him, not them. That's the problem with the church today. We too busy telling them. When the Bible makes clear that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us, we've got to know that there are things that only he can do that God wants him to do, and there are things that only he can do that we need him to do, and he's the only one who can make intercession. As I close my feeble little